Wait. Good morning and welcome to
Hey, wait a minute there, Gary Zimak. Oh,
and resuming that conversation, good morning. we're having an interesting conversation before we went on the air, but maybe we'll pick that up, boys. But I just want to welcome you to the program. We've got a special guest coming into the station today.
Let's deal with it now. No.
Happy Monday to you. Yeah. We're going to be interviewing in the studio Deacon Frank Goloszewski. He'll be here. He'll tell you. We'll talk a little bit about the permanent diaconate. We'll talk about his belief in Catholic radio and how he's become involved with Holy Spirit Radio. So it's kind of cool to have a guest in the studio today. Welcome to the Monday edition of Spirit in the Morning. Again, I'm Gary Zimak along with Dave Parker, Frank Eliason. I'm going to start off with prayer. Then we're going to recap some of what we experienced over the weekend at the Wine Women in the New Evangelization, first ever Catholic Women's Conference, national, I should say, Catholic Women's Conference. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us together again on this Monday morning. We ask you to give us the grace that we need to make it through the day. With all the struggles that we face today, we ask for your blessing, your help, your assistance. Father, we come to you with many different problems, many different frustrations and concerns. We all have shortcomings. We all have things that we need help with, and we ask you to help us today. Father, we lift up our families, our friends, those around us, those who we will encounter today, and we ask you to use us as your instruments so that we may lead people closer to you. And we ask that you will be with us at the station today. May all of our words reflect your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Dave Parker, Frank Eliason, we were having a discussion before we went on the air. About,
I can't believe you said things right as we're coming on the air to make us all crack up.
We were talking about some of the challenges we face when we do live. If I keep hitting my head.
And we have challenges when we don't do live, when we do anything live.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm on a different mic. So is Frank. So we're the angles. Different.
Who are you again? I don't recognize
you. Really,
you're sitting in the wrong chair.
I know.
Parker is the name?
Parker. Yeah.
All right.
And you're Zimak? I heard of you.
That's what they tell me. And Frank,
your reputation precedes you, brother.
He was over here. But
we're out of it. Your mic was just slightly off because of the, like, we're all in different places. It really messes us up.
But getting back to Gary's point. What was your points?
Wait a minute. I'm running the show here. Who left you in charge? I'm trying to make a point here, and you're taking over. Listen. But we did the remote at the Shrine of Częstochowa, the wine conference, and there are challenges to doing live remotes.
There is.
But you did a good job, Frank. Yeah, you were scrambling, brother.
There is challenges to live remotes. Anytime you're doing it, it's always new. It's a different place, and it's always unexpected. Now, this one was even more interesting because we knew we were going to do a remote, but we thought it was going to be like Man Up Philly, where we sat off to the side, mainly doing interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that requires simplistic, our equipment, headphones, microphones, not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then all of a sudden, we're broadcasting the event. Not only were we broadcasting the event, Holy Spirit Radio actually supplied all the wireless microphones that they used mm-hmm. in the place. But beyond that, that required us connecting not only to the Shrine's sound system,
mm-hmm.
but they actually then used another sound system that we had to connect to. So we had to connect to multiple sound systems.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anytime you're doing that, the equipment is so different. It doesn't always talk nice to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the initial part of any time you do something like that is issues as you're trying to figure it out and work it out. But it's actually was also inspiring in many ways because I walked away from there and, you know, not only inspired from the event, and I think the event was extraordinarily inspiring.
Oh, it was. Absolutely.
But then, you know, every time I do an event at the Shrine, and I've done a few where I, you know, masses and things along those lines, I always sit there and say, we should set up a permanent connection with the Shrine.
Mm.
And then I walk away, and you kind of forget about it until the next time you're doing a broadcast from there. And then it's like, oh. So literally,
we will not forget this one.
I was sending emails right away to actually get that set up.
Oh, great.
Not only that, but I actually was also inspired to even consider, like, I would love for us to be able to do it from local parishes. Mm. And so to experiment with one parish, the one parish that I thought about was Our Lady of Guadalupe. So yes. I sent an email to Monsignor Gentili, who basically said the Holy Spirit's at work here, because I was just thinking about how do we broadcast further. And I was like, we're here, we're local.
Yep.
And it was, and he was also at the women's conference. He was doing the helping out in many ways. And so we have him, he was inspired, I was inspired. It kind of just been the kind of went this way. But there are challenges, and it's hard to sometimes understand all those challenges, even for us who are so used to working with each other.
Yes.
Because it's a confined space, and it is, you know, and you sit there and you're trying to do it fast. You know, you're trying to fix things. So you want to create the great listening experience.
Exactly.
And from what I've heard, and I've listened to some of the segments, it came across fine. There were, bumps in the road during it? Yeah, and that's simply because we were doing a lot of different things. We moved the equipment at one point and went outside. We moved the equipment
Thank
twice,
goodness it was a beautiful day.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it was really funny. So when we moved the equipment, Dale's first comment to me was, wow, it sounded like you're in the studio. And it's because we disconnected some of that other equipment.
Oh, okay.
And so changed the dynamic of it. Yeah. Wasn't even anything about that. So anyway, it's always a pleasure. I love doing live remotes. I think that's the benefit of local Catholic radio, is being within the community. And it's finding new ways to do it. But not only was I inspired about developing these permanent connections in places, but also inspired that figuring out new ways that we could do it, because what are the, you know, one of the things that comes about is we're working off of a mixer that's designed, and people don't know what mixer is, but it's how you bring in the different sounds, you know, that's not designed for bringing in things like a studio sound system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Maybe there's a way that we can actually get a real mixer for these type of events that actually allow us more control. Yeah. And so literally yesterday...
But being more simplistic, you were telling before we went on air.
Literally plug and play. Yeah. Literally we'll have something that we wheel in, literally on wheels, and if you have to input something, you just plug it in. It's simple as that, and it will work, and we'll be able to make certain adjustments that are more than we can make on our current way of doing it. There is some money to doing this or some investment that will require. But you know what? We can test this now and make sure it works. But the other challenge that we have is there's a slight delay between here, the studio, what goes out over the air, and what we do. And that always creates problems in the headset because you can hear yourself talking. And it can really be difficult. Well, this would allow us to actually maybe run the whole entire computer system right from wherever we're at. And that would allow it much easier to listen to because you'll just hear where you're at. There will be a separate headphone that would actually, if you wanted to validate what's going on over the air, but you guys don't need to do that. I do.
Right. Can I add one really quick thing? Because I was going about, we talked about this last week, doing a like a woman on the street, you know, the attendees. And I know the station has an old recorder that some of our co-workers, colleagues, you know, use to at their events. Yeah. I was expecting this big recorder. Well, Frank pulls out a box, had not opened it before that time, and it was a little handheld. It's about the size of a like a Galaxy cell phone, and it was so easy to learn to operate and stuff. And I was walking around doing some women on the streets.
What we're going to do is we're going to take all this recording that we did over this thing. We're going to try and condense it down, add in some of these things, so we have to listen to it.
Yeah.
It was the first time using that recorder, which is a professional recorder, literally that I bought the day before, because I normally when we do Man on the Street at like Man Up Philly, we do with a wireless mic. Well, the event used all our wireless mics, so we couldn't just connect that way. And so
that was an awesome thing to use.
And it should give us good enough sound. The challenge to that is literally you had to learn how to use it
on the fly
at the event, which is, you know, this is all the different little pieces of the behind the scenes that people never see.
We're unpacking it on air, folks. it's the after action review, as we say in the Army, okay, or the military.
Yeah, but I'm glad we did it though. This is what local Catholic radio should be about.
It's how we grow.
Although let's say this is what local Catholic radio should be about, but it was the first national
women's
conference. That's
right. Well, it's a combination.
So it's even more amazing.
Right. Speaking of amazing.
You looking at me?
Not amazing. That's a totally meaningless segue, but let's look at the weather today. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, 62 degrees. Hey, I try, guys. I try. 62 degrees with fog and mist today. Patchy fog before 10 a.m. Otherwise, we're going to have mostly cloudy skies, high near 73. Tonight, showers with thunderstorms also possible. Low around 65. Tuesday, showers, possibly a thunderstorm. Yeah. High near 75 at the moment. In Birdsboro, 54. In Fort Washington, it's 57. And in Newtown, a 60 degrees.
And what will it be tonight for the Eagles game?
That's right. Yeah, we don't even have... I got to get the gospel in, but we can't forget the Eagles.
Come on. Yeah, it's Monday Night Football.
That's right.
We can mention them the last segment or throughout.
If anyone has tickets, you know, I'm open. Just call us here at the station.
Frank's excited, folks.
Man, let's take a look at...
Step away from the coffee.
Let's take a look at the gospel today. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told him a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God.'" Wow.
Powerful.
There's the sledgehammer that Father Larry Richards is always talking about.
Yep.
We have to look at our life. There's no sin to have wealth. There's no sin to have possessions. But if our main goal in life is to pursue comfort and possessions and things and exclude God, we've got our priorities in the wrong order.
Yeah, there's no trailer hitch on the back of the hearse. The old saying.
Love that.
We cannot take it with us, folks. But as Gary says, it's not a sin to get what we need, and the Lord will provide, but maybe the egregious of just going for possessions only.
Right.
And it takes over our lives.
And we've all done that at times, but the thing we also have to remember, too, is, and we emphasize this a lot on this program because it's something that I really believe, today is all we have. We have no guarantee that we're going to be here tomorrow, so let's make today count.
Amen, brother.
Let's do the best we can. Stick with us on Spirit of the Morning. We will be right back.
All right.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 24th. Today we celebrate St. Anthony Mary Claret. Born in Spain in 1807, young Antonio learned his father's trade of weaving, as well as printing and Latin, all before studying for the priesthood. Ordained at 28, he went on to become one of Spain's most popular preachers. At 42, Anthony founded a religious institute of missionaries, known popularly as the Claretians. Appointed to head the much-neglected Archdiocese of Santiago, Cuba, he began its reform by almost ceaselessly preaching and hearing confessions. He incurred widespread opposition for preaching against unmarried persons living together and for giving instructions to black slaves. When a hired assassin slashed his face and wrist, Anthony responded by getting the would-be assassin's death sentence commuted to a prison term. All his life, Anthony was interested in the Catholic press. Residing with the Spanish colony in France, he founded the Religious Publishing House, a major publishing venture, and wrote or published 200 books and pamphlets. A staunch defender of the doctrine of papal infallibility at Vatican I, he died in 1870 and was canonized in 1950. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers & Zims. Summers & Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers & Zims telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
After a season of nightfalls and pushbacks, after the heartache of wrong turns and sidetracks, just when they think they got you game, set, match, oh, 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 here comes a comeback. Just cause you laid low, got up slow, unsteady, don't mean you blacked out, oh, bowed out, you're ready.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was The Comeback by Danny Gokey. Your time right now is 7:18. Well, Dave Parker, we are joined in the studio. We have a special guest today.
Yes, we are. Hey.
Deacon Frank Golaszewski. Did I get it right, Deacon Frank?
You said that right correctly.
Thank you. Thank you for coming into the studio today. Before we get to talking about the permanent diaconate and how you got involved with the permanent diaconate, you're an Eagles fan.
Yeah, I'm an Eagles fan.
What's happening tonight, Deacon Frank?
Well, I'm feeling pretty confident in the game against Washington. We already have one game under the belt, but what's really been great is the defense has stepped up more than anyone expected, I think. And so, the offense clicking with the running game and all that stuff, and the offensive line doing well, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm thinking could be a letdown game from the two.
Right.
But
right.
They've had so much time off. All that emotion's over, so they can be back to business and not let it be a letdown. So
But we were talking last week a couple times. I think, you know, from how brutal the NFL is, I mean, it was a good time to get rested.
Yes.
And if you, you know, heal your bruises or whatever, your aches and pains, but now they should be fresh.
Yes, absolutely. So, yep. So time
is that correct?
I agree. I'm looking forward to it. Forward to an Eagles victory. Deacon Frank, you know what's really cool about you being here today is we've got two Jersey guys in the room right now, two guys who live who live in New Jersey. Yeah.
That's wonderful. What a blessing it is. We
go Pennsylvania. All right.
That's right.
Three dioceses, one archdiocese and two dioceses represented. So how great
how
is that?
How do you like that?
Praise God.
That's
praise
really
God.
Great.
Well, no, Mount Laurel.
That's Trenton.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's Trenton.
So yeah, so I'm Trenton Diocese.
That's two.
I like the way you say Trenton. Because I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania, originally, and when my wife is from this area. So even to this day, I'll say, are you going to Trenton? Trenton. She goes, what's Trenton? It's Trenton.
Okay. Right. And I love the way you said Erie. But thanks for having me, because I know it's probably much easier for me to just call in. But you have someone show up in the studio, you got to clean up, you got to get ready and all that, and then you hope that the person's actually going to show up.
So that's right, and that. You showed up. We got extra spiffy today. I put a clean T-shirt on.
The washer was working yesterday.
Yeah. So tell us your story. You are originally from Hatfield, you said?
Correct, and we'll give a shout-out to St. Marie Goretti Parish.
Great parish.
Grew up. Wonderful parish. My parents were there for a long time before and a long time after I was there. And so, hi to everyone out there in Hatfield. And I left to move to New York after I got out of school for my job. That's where I met my wife. That's where we had our kids.
So, the city of New York? In the big city?
Well, we did get married at St. Patrick's in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Church. It's a little tiny church in Highland Mills, New York State. Right.
Yeah, okay.
But, wow. So we're there for 13 years, and what's funny is I just always had this desire to move back into the geographical sports arena, you know, closer to Philly. And so New Jersey seemed like a nice place in between. We could still get the Kathleen side of the family.
Right.
We could still get to my side of the family. And the kids over time began to shed their Mets and Giants allegiance and
That's good.
Come home.
That was well said.
Right. So I transferred down here in 94. And that's how I got to New Jersey.
Okay. All right. Now, what led you into the permanent diaconate?
Well, that's a trick question, and I know the answer is supposed to be the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because people will say that to me, and they'll say, well, what got you there? And I say, well, what I hope I believe is a calling to the diaconate.
Yeah.
And it's one of those kind of things like a draft. You find out a few years later if it was the correct draft or not, right?
You know. Wow.
So... But what drew me in, where I felt the Holy Spirit tugging at me, was I became very excited about the faith.
You were not always very excited? Did you always have a strong faith growing up?
Boy, that's another trick question. Of course I was always excited. But you grow. It's a journey, right? And as you dive more deeply into the faith, you get more... Well, I felt myself getting more tied into really wanting to understand it. Like, I'm the kind of person that wants to take things apart to see how they...
Right,
work.
Right.
Like my dad had a Lionel train. Mm-hmm. I remember I took it apart. Cuckoo clock. I remember taking it apart. So I don't know how he felt about all that in retrospect, but I like understanding just how things work. Like the visible V8, remember that model? I thought that would be fun to have, just to be able to understand, watch a car engine work. So I was like that with the faith. In 2001... We took a pilgrimage out to visit some friends in Columbus, Ohio, and we met a person that Catholic radio people know, Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Oh, yeah.
And it was at that time I was beginning to think about getting more into understanding the faith. We'd went through Marriage Encounter, which helps you get more engaged with God and your coupleness, and I wanted to take further steps. So she turned me on to Scott Hahn, gave me little rectangular things. They had like this tape inside that would play sound, which I don't know, people don't know about that anymore. But my wife would drop me off at 6:45 mass in the morning, and I would jog home listening to Scott Kahn tape. So it was like work on my spirituality, work on my physical situation. And so I just kept buying more and more packs of Scott Kahn tapes, learning about the Bible, learning about the Old Testament, learning about specific books. And that's became something that I just wanted to share. So around 2002, I began to investigate the diaconate. In 2003, I went into the training program, Starfleet Academy kind of thing, to go out and learn as much as you can learn in that amount of time about the faith, about the rites, the sacraments, and all that.
Awesome.
Here's what's interesting, and I think this is a misconception about the permanent diaconate, and myself, at one time, I was incredibly lukewarm throughout my life. I did not care about the faith, despite 12 years of Catholic education. But I had a major conversion, and I thought, I need to become holier. I need to get to know the Lord more. So therefore, I should become a permanent deacon. And I started pursuing it, and absolutely nothing fell into place for me. It just did not seem to work out. And it wasn't until afterward that I realized is that you don't need to become a member of the clergy to become a permanent deacon in order to be holy. It's a definite calling. In other words, you were called to it. I feel that I wasn't. And I'm glad you mentioned that calling aspect.
Yeah, and I think that that's a very key thing to understand is, like church, and this is one of those, I don't know if it was Monsignor Mike McGee who told us, but we are called.
Mm.
Church is the people who are gathered,
right.
And they are people who are called. And like St. Paul says, lots of gifts. We need lots of different parts. We all can't be the same thing. So
right.
We need people who, yeah, will do the permanent diaconate thing and people who minister in other ways. Like you probably interact with people a lot, you know, to a greater degree than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are here broadcasting. You get to help share the faith, help spread the faith, and
right.
do all that
mm-hmm.
in this way. I interact with people in a congregation in a different way or, you know, whatever kind of ministry things I'm involved with. So it's all good in terms of building up the body of Christ, and what's key is being able to understand where we should fit in or where we're being called to fit in, as opposed to where can I elbow my way into.
Very good point, right. And the Lord is definitely calling us, using our gifts, calling us to use those gifts to build up his church in different ways.
Exactly.
Deacon Frank, we see the deacon up on the altar.
Where?
Standing next to the priest, right?
Okay.
But what do you do outside of being up, outside of Mass? What
right.
is the role of the deacon?
Right, so the role of the deacon should be more than just a low-paid, exalted altar server kind of thing, right? So
right.
we have a foot in the real world because I do have a job. Mm-hmm. I do interact with people at a corporate or business mm-hmm. or secular type way as part of the Frank, that's the person out in the world. Then I have another foot that's there in the altar, which is why the deacon does certain things in Mass, because the deacon is there bringing the people in. I bring Christ to the people one
wow.
way, and I bring the people to the altar in the other way. So we do the prayer of the faithful, the general intercessions, the prayer of the people. We do the sign of peace, that kind of
right,
thing. So,
right.
I can get involved with lots of other things in terms of my call, I think, is to evangelize. So I like to put programs together in the parish or wherever I'm organized to bring the faith to people in some way.
And what do you find is the most common misconception about the permanent diaconate?
One of the most permanent, well...
Because I've heard some.
A common misconception about the permanent diaconate is that in Trenton we're called Reverend Mister. We're actually called Deacon. Reverend Mister would be transitional deacons.
But I did not realize that.
There you go.
I did not realize that.
But also there's this misconception that we are not clergy. We are in fact clergy.
Yes.
We receive holy orders, and it is a calling for men in terms of to be in the office of deacon through holy orders. It's not, you know, spread out across both sexes. It's a calling for men.
Right.
So there's references in Acts to women who are, quote, little d deacons
mm-hmm.
helping out with sacrament types of things, like baptizing. If you're baptizing a woman who's there in the pool with no clothes on, they would have a woman help do
right.
that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to be a deacon to baptize.
But that is different than the role that you have as a permanent deacon.
Right, with a capital D.
All right. We're going to be back more with Deacon Frank Goloszewski when we come back here on Spirit of the Morning. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Syrian activists are reporting that at least 65 bodies of civilians have been found in a central town retaken by government forces from the Islamic State. Many of them are believed to have been killed by ISIS. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says the number of those killed in a town in central Homs province is likely to rise. In Washington, House Republican leaders are hoping to pass a budget bill this week so they can turn their attention to tax reform. President Donald Trump personally urged House GOP members to move swiftly on passing the budget bill during a Sunday conference call. He said the effort would clear the way for what he described as historic tax cuts. Pope Francis has declared that October of 2019 will be Extraordinary Missionary Month. The Holy Father made the announcement during his Angelus address yesterday for World Mission Sunday. He said, quote, I intend to promote an extraordinary missionary month in October 2019 in order to nourish the ardor of the evangelizing activity of the church, ad gentes. On the day of the liturgical memory of John Paul II, missionary pope, we entrust to his intercession the mission of the church in the world, end quote. And the number of Catholics in the world is increasing. That, according to the Fides News Agency, a service of the Pontifical Mission Societies, which released statistics about Catholicism worldwide to mark World Mission Sunday. There are almost 1.3 billion Catholics around the world as of 2015, which is an increase of 12.5 million from the previous year. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Social Security is with you through life's journey. Get to know us at socialsecurity.gov. We are there, day one, with baby names and a gift that lasts a lifetime. We are there as you grow, protecting you and those you love. We are there when you get your first job, helping you to save for the future. We are there when you marry your sweetheart, to help secure your new life together. We are there if the unexpected happens, to help you see life from a new perspective. We are there when you start your next chapter to make sure you get off to a great start. And we are there when you lose your soulmate to help make sure you will be all right. We are with you through life's journey. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. Get to know us and see what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Getting your daily dose of vitamin Z. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, yes, when I am alone, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. All this world, just give me Jesus. When I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, just give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. Oh, give
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Colin Ray, Give Me Jesus. My name is Gary Zimak, and in the studio with Dave Parker and myself, we are joined by Deacon Frank Goloszewski. Deacon, did I get that right?
Perfect, thank you. Two out of three, that's great.
Very good. So we were talking about the permanent diaconate and some of the common misconceptions. Now let's talk a little bit, if we could, about Catholic radio. You're a believer in what we do here.
I do, yeah. I am a believer, yep.
How did you first find out about Holy Spirit Radio?
Well, there were little bumper stickers and business cards back in the 2001 timeframe where I began to notice and find out that there was a Catholic station. And I mentioned earlier about listening to a bunch of Scott Hahn tapes.
Right.
And part of what drew me into that was he was a convert. And I wanted to know, what did he see in the Catholic faith that brought him over? Because I grew up listening to WFIL, Famous 56,
me
AM
too.
Radio.
Me too, brother.
And now they're a non-Catholic Christian
That's
station.
Right. That's
so
right.
In thinking about God stuff, I would start listening to them as I was driving back and forth to work. And then I began to find myself getting pulled over. Often when I drive, I get pulled over, but I could be spiritually getting pulled over. And so that's why at that time it was perfect to find out there was a Catholic station and to begin to listen to it. And what's great nowadays is you guys stream over the internet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it's just I'm at my desk. You come through crystal clear, my surround sound speakers, and it's just great. So I don't have
Excellent.
To worry about the weather.
Wow.
Or an eclipse or whatever.
There you go. And we were talking off the air. You're a firm believer, as am I and as is Dave, that everything that we practice and that we believe as Catholics is totally explainable.
Exactly.
Right? And there's reasons for what we do and what we believe.
Right. And so you have something like Catholic radio as a very important tool. And I mentioned it several times in the homilies because you come to Mass.
Right.
And Mass is such a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the digs is, well, the homily. Maybe it's not a great homily. Or maybe it's, I wish they'd go on for 45 minutes like they do down the street, or whatever.
Yeah.
But the whole point isn't the homily. The homily's not the only place you can learn about the Word of God. There's just Mass in terms of the liturgy of the Word and the Eucharist and the joining of the, celebration to and sacrifice to Christ and all that and the eternal worship going on in heaven. But we have Catholic media, we have Catholic books, we have the catechism, we have, access to information like we've never had before. And Catholic radio, I think, is a very important way to take that otherwise idle time when you're driving in the car, when you're doing housework or mowing the lawn or whatever, and be able to get information about the faith.
Right. And I know it changed my life. And Dave,
it changed my life.
Holy
as well.
Spirit radio in particular, when
exactly.
I was going through my crisis, my little bit of a medical crisis several years ago, and I realized, hey, I better get to know the Lord because I could be going home soon. It turned out it wasn't the case, but I started listening to Catholic radio and changed my life.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I'm learning all these things. Like, wow, this is what I believe. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Holy Spirit radio that
absolutely.
I was listening to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a nice reinforcement, but subtly for me. When I was not living in the area, I was down in D.C. I was still on active duty in the Army, and I would watch this thing called EWTN.
Mm-hmm.
I came across it, and this Mother Angelica, I think her name is.
Heard her.
And basically, I just started listening more and more. It just drew me in. And then other programs. And I didn't listen to Catholic radio down there. I didn't know if there was any. But that's how I started. Then I moved back, and then I listened to this station. I found this station, WISP, 1570 AM in Doylestown. And basically, that was – plus a lot more stuff in church, more activity, lectoring.
Yep.
But, that was part of my journey. And the Spirit it draws all of us.
And that's what we need to remember. It's not us. Sometimes we think it's us. Oh, I found the Lord. Well, he's been calling us all this time,
and he's
setting things up. Right. Deacon Frank, we're on Catholic radio. Anybody listening to this – listens to Catholic radio. But I encounter a lot of people who say, I don't feel that I have a personal relationship with Christ, or I don't have that friendship, or how do I even get that friendship? What would you say to that person?
Well, I look at my...
Where do you start?
Well, I look at my relationship with Christ like with a relationship with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had a relationship, like with you guys. First time I met you face to face.
Right.
But I just came up and just talked nonstop. It's like, borrow this, can I borrow that? Can you lend me this? Can I have this? Can I have that? And didn't give you a chance to speak, and I'm just constantly asking you for things, as opposed to having a relationship where we share.
Right.
I give you a chance to tell me, for me to learn about you, for you to, you know, to come into my life and vice versa. For me to be upfront and honest with you, and not just come and say, oh, it's just wonderful, I'm just so happy to be here, when it's like, 20 minutes ago, I'm driving through the fog in the darkness going, where is, you know?
Yeah, whatever, yeah. Right?
Yeah. A little anxiety. Yeah.
Right. So when I came in, I could Dale and I sat down. We just had a nice little chat. I could share with Dale, wow, glad I made it. Instead of just being a different person, I can be my real self with Christ.
Amen.
Not a fake me with Christ, and allow that relationship to build and allow Christ to speak to me in all the ways that Christ does speak to me.
And how does he do that?
Well, through I was thinking about that when you're talking about the Catholic radio. There are so many different touch points you offer to connect with the person where they are. So you want to hear Mass during the day, that's great. If you want to hear catechetical discussion, that's great. If you want to hear the Q&A or the whatever, there's just so many different aspects to your programming. It's like the church. We're diverse in a lot of ways, yet unified. And so we're universal in that we can reach out and talk to people in whatever language they're in and wherever they are, and be able to reach them. And you guys do that as well with the programming.
We're one body, many parts, right?
Oh, that's good.
Wow. No, that is good.
I heard that from a deacon.
I heard that from a saint.
That too, okay.
And Dave, and Deacon, you hit on something profound there, that when I'm trying to have a friendship with Christ, when I want to really have our relationship grow, I need to be honest with him.
Sure.
And I shouldn't hold back. And sometimes we're afraid that, if I say this, he's going to get mad at me. But he knows how we feel.
Right.
It's not like we're fooling him.
Right. It's like with my wife. She'll say to me, you're awful quiet today. Something's going on. And I'll be like, how did she know that?
Yeah.
And it'd be that with Christ. It'd be like, hello, Christ. I'm really upset, but I'm not going to tell you. I think he might know that.
Right.
And so it helps build the relationship to kind of be upfront with that.
I was going to say, you touched on something about, you know, if you came in here and just said, you know, do this, do that, check this out. I mean, and that's listening. We, you know, as I, Barbara, if you're listening, yes, I'm still learning to listen better, you know. And that's it for all of us. We have to listen to each other, and so sit back, you know, not take the controls, and just and respond when we can.
Right.
So that was another teaching point for me. Listen.
Yeah. And it's nice. I'm able to get the morning mass an hour ahead of time, and the place is completely dark and completely silent. Fortunately, there's a guy who goes around and unlocks the church, so I'm able to get in there.
Yeah.
But it's just quiet time.
Right.
And I think that's a great thing about adoration too. It's like you just step in, close the doors, and just have some quiet time.
And when you're at adoration, and I've heard this from people, and I've experienced this myself when I first got started with adoration, sometimes people don't know what to say. What do I say? What do I do? And really, just being there is the best place to start, right?
Absolutely.
The Lord wants you there. He doesn't care what you say.
Right.
Right. And that's. But sometimes we just keep going. Our minds have to keep racing. We have to control the relationship. And I think we forget that He's also contributing more than we are to the relationship.
Right, and He wants the relationship more than we do. And it's like you go to the beach, sit back, and just let the sun soak in.
We hear a lot about numbers are down at Mass. People are leaving the Catholic Church. Do you find that Catholics are still hungry for God?
Oh, I think everyone's hungry for God.
But they don't. They might not realize it?
Correct. And I think part of the problem is everyone's hungry for God and everyone's being catechized. They just don't know they're being catechized sometimes. Like you put on the news, the media, the whatever, non-Catholic media, who may not be positive about the church, they're out there catechizing people.
Yeah.
And so people are being catechized by CNN or whatever. And so I think what we need to do, and this is part of what drives me, is catechize. It's part of evangelization, you know, come out and help people understand. My wife and I do Percana, and it's great to be able to have the couples in the room to say, here's the church's side of the story.
Wow.
This is what the church teaches, not what you've heard. And there's opportunities to ask questions or whatever, but we're just going to give you the church's side of the story so that as you begin your relationship together, you know what's going on.
Wow, that's great. And how about when you prepare your homilies? What's your goal?
Boy, what's my goal as I prepare my homilies? I guess my goal is usually to be able to take apart Scripture.
Right.
And I spend a lot of time talking about, here's the gospel, sometimes how it relates to the first reading, or whatever, and I try to make it real in terms of the world today or our lives today. Wow. And then end up with, so then where do we go from here? Because it's one thing to be able to take apart and understand the gospel and go, great, that's very cool. I learned some wifty things, but it doesn't affect my life or affect anyone's life. It's a hobby.
Wow, that is so powerful, and that's so important. And that's one of the, I think, the biggest needs that we have. And a lot of times this is why people just zone out when they're hearing the readings, is because they can't. That happens, right? Because they can't relate the message.
You didn't say during the homily, I guess, so that's good.
No, during the readings, because we can't relate the message to our lives.
Right,
and yet the Lord is speaking to us. He's giving us guidance.
Right.
That's why it's so important in your homily to tie that together and help people to realize that.
One of the things I find myself repeating is, it's not just something 2,000 years ago that Jesus spoke to this crowd. It's Jesus speaking to you, Gary, to you, Dave, to me.
And
right
I was
now.
Just going to say that about lecturing as well. I mean, if you really think about it, in learning lecturing, it's not just reading script.
Right.
I mean, as we grow in becoming lectors, and I'm always learning something, but it's how. And I remember Deacon Helsley, when I got back into the rotation, said, he goes, Dave, read loud and slow.
Yeah.
And because I would, you know, I have this, sometimes I would be excited, a little bit of nerves at first, but, you know, but everybody, you know. So I'm just blessed to be able to read the word, the scripture, whatever the reading is. And then as Frank, right here next to me says it, but you have to unpack it. And I like the way you said, I mean, your love for taking things apart. You said you sit down and take it apart and then piece it together how it relates to, you know, your everyday life, the congregants' everyday life.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. We will be back with the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When he won the Christopher Life Achievement Award, iconic news anchor Ernie Anastas shared a poem he wrote called Life. It reads, "There comes a time in life when we won't be so concerned about minutes, hours, or days. Things we've collected we'll probably give to others. Money, fame, and power also become irrelevant. Even grudges and resentments disappear. So what really matters? The value of your life is seen in every act of integrity, compassion, or sacrifice that enriches and encourages others. It's about character, not just what you have learned, but what you have taught. More than what you got, it's what you gave. Remember, life is really measured not by success, but by significance."
This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. My name, no more sorrow.
drawing near. When this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was I Will Rise by Chris Tomlin. I'm Gary Zimak, and I want to thank you for tuning into the program today. All right, feeling a little nervous out there? It's time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse, as they do each day. These are coming from my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. Here we go. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse comes from 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Deacon Frank, it's one of those verses that reminds us that when we open the Bible, God's speaking to us.
That's exactly right. And Scripture certainly is an incredibly important tool to keep in our utility belt.
Right.
Right,
mm-hmm.
For out there fighting sin and fighting worry and all that.
But the beautiful thing about being Catholic is we believe that the Word of God comes in a written form. And it also comes through the tradition, with a capital T,
correct,
teaching of the church.
Correct. We have our teaching magisterium, the big T tradition, and Scripture. So Scripture is an important thing to equip us, but it's not the only thing.
And sometimes this verse gets used incorrectly to say that the everything we need for our salvation is contained in the Bible.
That's correct.
But in reality, it's the authority of the church that compiled the Bible in the first place.
Right, and you just kind of have to go to what Christ said. So what did Christ leave us? Christ did not say, you know, go out and read your Bible. Christ said, I leave you my mother,
right.
I leave you the church, Maybe Peter is going to be in charge of the church, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So there's just all these tools that are all part of the equipment that helps us to go out to be the best followers of Christ we could be.
Yeah. About his mother, what did she say? Do what he tells you.
And those were her last recorded words, right? Those were her last recorded words in sacred scripture. So that's the way we get to heaven, Deacon, right?
Exactly, right. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hurt to have his mother, like Bishop Sheen said, I know your mom.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, it's great to be Catholic, isn't it, boys?
It is. It's so uplifting. And it goes to our show. You know, Spirit in the Morning, the theme behind that, the concept was we want to get the word out there to people driving to work, you know, having their coffee, you know, get them prepared, putting their armor on, going to work. I mean, in the secular world and those who may be, you know, fearful of a presentation or whatever, or they're down from a bad weekend. Yep. We're here to uplift people.
That's right.
You know?
And speaking of being uplifted, we're eating donuts today in the studio.
Marianne's!
Yay.
Gotta love Marianne's out of Doylestown. Huh.
And can I say something? Peg from Marianne came up to me right as we were tearing down.
Sorry, I missed Peg.
Peg.
I didn't see
her. And she goes, "You
gotta
come over." Well, hey, we did.
That's right.
If you're listening, you know. I don't know if Frank went or Dale went, but
Dale went.
Thank you.
Forward to it. So.
See, the Holy Spirit really works, Peg. Yeah.
But this was great, Deacon Frank. Thanks for joining us in the studio today. I know it's a bit of a challenge to find this studio in the dark
and the fog.
But I'm really glad you
just
made
follow the horses.
I appreciate you having me here. It's an honor.
Follow
to be
the deer.
You.
Gary has had run-ins with deer on the way. Oh, I mean, not literally, but he has deer sightings.
Yeah, I've had some.
Go ahead.
All that deer theme again. Anyways, no, can I, on a serious note, this station has, there's Deacon Rich.
You're listening to the Dave Parker Show on Holy Spirit Radio. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
I'm in training. I'm in the bullpen.
Seriously, you do want to make, Dave, seriously, you do
want
to make.
No, but yeah, I would be remiss, we would be remiss if we didn't mention our own deacon, Deacon Rich Napoli.
He's our spiritual advisor.
Yes.
Has Deacon Dialogues, which airs this Friday. Yeah. At 4 o'clock.
Then I will definitely tune in because I'll get to hear all the corrections that he has for us.
But Deacon Rich, that's another great story of somebody who was an atheist and who came to know the Lord and become a permanent deacon through Holy Spirit Radio.
Again, it's the power that radio brings and educating and helping. You know, Deacon Rich went from being an atheist to now a deacon, you know, all through his wife. And the power of his wife, as well as this station.
Amen.
And so, you know, between those things, it's just extraordinarily powerful. Anything can happen. You worry about your children in faith. You worry about others not in faith. You know what? The right thing at the right moment will come through to them. And when it does, that will actually, you know, they can change completely. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's also the benefit of the love and mercy of Christ. You know, you can have, you know, these other beliefs and then all of a sudden go, wait, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can do this.
Right.
And change your life going forward.
Or so, I did something that was so bad. You know, we're all sinners. But do the Holy Spirit pinging on us, I call it, you know, saying, hey, look, gently come back.
The key is to be open, right? Once you're open, he's going
to
keep after us. We just have to respond. We want to thank you for tuning into the program. Tomorrow on the show, we'll be joined by Dr. John Bergsman. We'll continue our discussion about Abraham. Also, Brandon Vaught will be here later in the week. Jeannie Mancini, the president of the March for Life. Father Wade Menezes is going to be here to talk about his latest book. And Friday, we'll be joined in studio by our friend, singer-songwriter, Teresa Peterson.
Oh, she's nice. So incredible.
So she's got awesome. A new album out. She's going to be performing some songs in the studio live for us on Friday. So it's another exciting week on Spirit in the Morning. We thank you for listening. On behalf of everyone here at Holy Spirit Radio, my name is Gary Zimek, and I want to thank you and remind you that wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Just make sure you turn around and say hi. God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit communicating